Okay, go back to John 12 with me. John chapter 12. Read verses 1 and 2. John 12. Verses 1 and 2. Then Jesus, six days before the Passover, came to Bethany, and where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper. And Martha served. Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Bethany was a town often visited by our Lord. We've seen that. He came here often. It was a blessed place. Blessed is the place that God has chosen to put his name there. That God has chosen to be there. To be there in the form of the gospel. How blessed is this place, huh? The Lord wasn't in Jerusalem at this time, was he? He never went and stayed in Jerusalem for long. He always left and went out into the villages, the little towns, like Capernaum and Nazareth, where he grew up, and now Bethany. He was always in Bethany. How blessed was Bethany? How blessed was Bethany? He was there constantly, wasn't he? What about this place? How blessed we are. Rocky Mount. Everybody in Bethany was not blessed. They were blessed and didn't know it. The Lord was there. As are everyone where the gospel is, but yet they don't come. God's people do. Why was Mary and Martha and Lazarus were favored, highly favored by the Lord? He came to their house. Why? They loved him. Why? He first loved them. He chose them. Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene now. Ask her who did the choosing. What a blessed family. What a blessed place this town was. What a blessed family. Two sisters and a brother. Two sisters and a brother. They're sitting in this service this morning. Three sisters. Do you realize? I think you do. How blessed you are. Some have siblings and none of them know the Lord. How blessed you are. Some of them are still dead. We sure pray for them. Blessed place, blessed people. How rare this was. There's some parents in here with children and grandchildren. How blessed. Some, the Lord saved some whole houses, didn't he? Some, though, according to his will, don't have a believing spouse, don't have believing children. That's the Lord. That's his purpose. That's his will. You see, it's a great mercy and great grace if the Lord saves any of us, let alone all of us. Noah sure was grateful. All his sons. And daughters-in-law. We're on that ark. What a blessing. Oh my. This was Martha's house. Again. She opened her house to the Lord and his people. I remind you that wherever the Lord was, his disciples went. She didn't just have to feed him. She had to feed them. But she complained before. She's not complaining now, is she? You don't hear her complaining now. But here's something I want you to see. Verse 1 says, 6 days before the Passover came, they made him a supper. 6 days. 6 days later, he's going to make them a supper. The Passover, the Lord, our Passover, is going to be sacrificed for them. And it'll be said in Isaiah 25, in this mountain shall the Lord make unto us a feast of fat things and wine on the lees, well refined. Oh, the Lord's going to make them a supper and us a supper of his precious blood, of his broken body. And we're all going to be eating of that supper for the rest of our days. It's the least they could do to make him a supper. the least. Martha was always serving. Always serving, wasn't she? And don't be critical of Martha. Don't do it. Now, the Lord can, don't you? Forgive me a minute. That I remember as a young husband, my wife scurrying around serving, I said, "Martha, Martha." Men, don't do that. Don't you dare do that. The Lord may do that. Don't you dare do it. Or you risk His anger. She's His Martha. And she's His to rebuke as He sees fit. And you'll find out very shortly that you wish you were like her. We need Marthas. The Lord gently rebuked her, not for serving. He didn't rebuke her for serving. He rebuked her for her priorities were wrong. She was up serving and careful and cumbered about many things when she should have been sitting with Mary. Sitting and listening to the Lord. They needed food, but the Lord plainly said there's one thing needful, didn't he? And when the Lord comes in the house, first things first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If you need food, you reckon He'd provide it? Martha, did you forget the loaves and the fishes? Oh, but we got a what? We've got some Marthas in here. I'm thankful for the Marthas. We've got some Marthas in here. My, my. They serve us all well, don't they? Aren't you glad? We have some Dorcases that labor. Oh, if the Lord took them, we'd be greatly sad like the church was with Dorcas. Martha served, and that's a good thing. It's good. It's vital. Here she is again. She's serving. The Lord doesn't rebuke her this time. Why? She's not complaining. I don't think she ever complained again. She counted it a great privilege to serve. But when He came in, you just reckon, you think that she didn't sit down first and say, "Now, Lord, speak." And he probably said, "Martha, you may go." And she went and served. Thank God for the Marthas of this world. But they made Him a supper. They made the Lord a supper in His honor. His appearance, His presence with them was their delight. He was their Lord. He was their life. He was their love. He was the one they loved greatly. And they desired His presence more than anyone or anything. That's why He came to this house all the time. He didn't come uninvited. Not this time. He did the first time. But they always, if they heard He was coming, "Lord, Lord, please come home with us." Well, I'd be delighted to. Like the house of Obed-Edom. Remember? They took the ark in. They said, "David, please let us have the ark." And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom for the ark's sake all their day. And oh, didn't the Lord bless his house. Saved them all. For the gospels, for Christ's sake. Isn't that what we do here, though? Isn't that why this house exists? Isn't that why this house is here, the church house? Isn't it not for the honor and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do we not come here to sup with Him? Do we not? Do we do anything else? Huh? Is this for this cause or that cause? Do we open our doors for all these humanitarian efforts? No, the Lord said plainly, you have that with you always. There's a place and a time for that. But this place is for one thing. This place is in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. We celebrate His supper here. We have suppers, yes, among our people and all that, but that's not how we get people in. That's not why we exist. We exist for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the supper that He served us. Well, we do make Him a supper like that. Revelation 3, which so many people misapply. Revelation 3. Let's get this clear, okay? Revelation 3. And all of these letters are written to the churches. To the churches. Revelation 3. And this is, you know, the church of Laodicea, which all of us are so guilty of being like, rich and increased with goods and not a great need, or like Ephesus that left their first love or lost their first love. And he said, repent, do the first work. You've lost your joy, your enthusiasm, your appreciation for the gospel. And here he said, you've got too much and you don't realize how spiritually you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Verse 18, he said, I counsel thee, buy gold tried in the fire. Spend all your gold upon this gold. Provide bags that wax not old. Spend everything you have, for this is gold. This is better than much fine gold, this gospel. Verse 19, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. But verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Who's he talking to? Look at verse 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He's talking to the church, wasn't he? He's talking to believers, saints at Laodicea. And he said, I stand at the door and knock. Christ is present wherever his people meet, where people two or three are gathered. What door? He is the door. And he says, if any man will open, I'll come in and do what? Save him? Not talking about salvation. Talking about fellowship. Talking about supping with him. I'll come in and sup with him. What's he sup with us? What do we sup? What do we eat? What do we drink? That which he provides. He doesn't need. He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you. So we come. We prepare the Lord a supper here. It's in hope that he'll come sup with us. And we bring to him what he provides, which he delights in. All right, go back to our text. John 12. So that's what we do here. And we hope, we pray that the Lord will commune with us and fellowship around the Lord. Lazarus was there. It says Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And verse 2 makes it very clear, amazingly, behold, Lazarus sitting at the table with them. Oh my, Lazarus was dead. A few days ago, Lazarus was dead. Stinking dead. His sister said, he's stinking dead, Lord. There's no hope for him. That's what his sister said. He's been dead a long time. Lord, there's no hope for him. He's stinking dead. Lord said, roll away the stone. There's no case impossible, the Lord. No stinking sinner stinks too much. People, I'm here, aren't I? Would you like to raise your hand with me? I'm here, the chief of sinners. I'm here to tell you, even now. That's what Martha said. Even now, you just say the word. And that's what it's going to take. He makes a great point to tell us that Lazarus is there. A few days ago, he was dead. People, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And he's made us to do what? Sit together in heavenly places, supping on, feasting on the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which just a few years ago, we had no interest in. No interest in. But God. This is my story. Lazarus was there laughing, crying, loving, and listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's sitting there at that table thinking, oh, I'm sure glad to be here. I once was dead, And now I'm alive. Praise be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who called me from death unto life. Lazarus said, there's no place on earth I'd rather be.
Anyone? Anyone have a brother dead in sin? You know, you can be dead in religion. Same as the gutter. Dead's dead. Saul of Tarsus was in religion. Some of you, I know some of your brothers. They're in religion. But it stinks, doesn't it? It's self-righteous religion, and it stinks, doesn't it? Some of you have sisters and brothers-in-law. It stinks, doesn't it? It's worse. No, it's not worse. It's the same. It's sin. Sin. And I tell you, it seems even harder, though, to save. Seems even more impossible to save someone that's in self-righteous, full of morality like Saul of Tarsus was. It seems harder, but it's not. The same Lord, same Spirit, same power, same gospel to save them. And even now, dead and, you know, old and in religion all those years, like Saul of Tarsus in his 60s, even now, the Lord can save them if he's pleased. I need to pray for him like Lazarus, or like Martha and Mary did Lazarus. John Newton was meeting with William Jay, a friend of his. They were close friends, both of them preachers. William Jay, for many, many years, 60-some years, pastor of the same church. Great preacher. John Newton and William Jay were good friends. They were sitting talking. And John Newton, who was a prolific letter writer, like my dad, that's his legacy, really. He wrote letters, and his letters are just marvelous. But he wrote letters, and he got a letter back from someone at Bath where William Jay was preacher. And Jay came in, they were talking, and he said, Brother Jay, he said, I just got a letter from so-and-so in Bath. And it sounds like the Lord has done something for him through your preaching. And Jay said, not him. No, not him. He said, oh, Brother Newton, if it's so, he said, I'll not despair of anyone being saved. John Newton, that old African blasphemer, said, Brother Jay, I've never despaired anyone since he saved me. Lazarus was there. Isn't that a good message? Then Mary. Martha serves, then Mary. Mary is always sitting at his feet. She's sitting at his feet. She's probably thinking all the time, every time she sat at his feet, you reckon she's thinking of her past life. Do you reckon? Do you not reckon, you know it so, that she's like David, my sin is ever before me. That's why she sat at his feet. She had to hear him speak peace to her broken heart over sin. And she sits at his feet. And do you reckon that all much of the time when she sat, she would hang her head? That if she would open her eyes, you know what she would see? His feet. His feet. Right now, if she, I don't think she hangs her head, but if she did, she'd see nail-scarred feet. The price of her redemption. Mary, she got up from the table and went into her room, if she had a room, or went in and found a chest, whatever, and came back and had this alabaster box, a very costly box or vessel in itself. And she had in it a pound, 16 ounces of this very costly ointment. Very costly. Ointment of spikenard, it says in verse 3. Very costly. Anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of that. Oh, may the Lord fill this house right now. Go back to Canticles.
1. I said that not to impress you, but I said it in case you're reading sometime. These people, you read Gil and all of them, and that's how they'll say it. Canticles. I remember the first time thinking, what's that? Canticles chapter 1. Go back there. Now, for those who the Lord loves, they love the Lord. And His presence is everything to them. His word is more costly, more precious than fine gold. David said it, and all of God's people say it. Whatever it costs me, it's of no real sacrifice. I've got to hear His word. It's more precious than gold, than fine gold. David said, it's more sweet to me than honey, fine honey, on the comb. Job said, it's more than my necessary food. He said, I'll go without food to have this word. Mary took this pound, a large portion of very costly spikenard, means pure ointment. Pure ointment, spikenard, very costly, anointed His feet. Look at Song of Solomon, Canticles chapter 1. Look at verse 12. Yeah, verse 1. Look at verse 1. This is the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's or Christ. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth. That's the word of Christ. Thy love, this gospel of His love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we'll run after thee. King has brought me into His chamber. Oh, we'll be glad and rejoice in Him. We'll remember His love more than wine. The upright love thee. They think they're black, but they're comely. Oh, Mary could sing this, couldn't she? I don't think she's thinking about this verse. I don't know if she knows these verses. I don't know if she has a Bible. But she's doing exactly what these verses say. I think the Lord, I'm quite sure the Lord is smiling right now. He's smiling. Mary may not have known these verses, but the Lord did. As do we. We know it. The Lord arranged all this. Why? Everything must fulfill the Scripture. All Scriptures must be fulfilled. This Song of Solomon, Canticles, is fulfilled by Mary at His feet right now. Scripture must be fulfilled. Look at verse 12. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. Let me read that again. I didn't see much recognition on your faces here. While the king sits at his table, my spikenard, she brought him spikenard, Solomon. And the smell went everywhere. That sent a chill up my spine when I read it. Oh, my. Nah, nah, nah. This is God's word, isn't it? Who does it speak about? Christ and His love for His people and His love for them. All right, now I'm going to talk something about Mary's love for Him. All right, Mary's humility, Mary's faith. All right, but wait a minute, hold on. Don't let anybody hearing this over the airwaves or whatever. This is not for Mary's glory. She wouldn't be there if Christ hadn't brought her. If Christ hadn't loved her, she wouldn't love Him now. If Christ hadn't drawn her, she wouldn't be here. If Christ hadn't saved her, she'd be out on the streets right now, plying her trade, selling her soul, selling her body. And she knew it. This is not for her glory, but this is for the glory of Him who loved her and washed her in His own precious blood. Him who saved her. Him who gave her this faith that she had. All right? Let that be perfectly clear. No, Mary's no. Don't you? There you go. Because the Lord first loved her and gave Himself for her, she gives her all to Him. Nothing. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 8, listen to this, he wrote over in 2 Corinthians 8, prove the sincerity of your love. He said, and I was going to read the whole thing, but time won't allow it. He said, the church at Macedonia, that's Philippi, that's Lydia. They, the extreme liberality of their deep, of their joy, but deep poverty, they abounded in riches, their liberality. I say it, Paul said, they did to me more over and above they were able. Oh, but God is able to provide. And he did. So he says to us, he says to every church, he says, do you know that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, he who was rich yet for our sakes became poor? That you through his poverty might be made rich? So he said, in your love, see that you abound in this grace also. Giving. You're talking about giving. She gave the best. She gave the most costly. It was nothing to her. She poured it out. She broke the box and poured it out on his feet. Judas. If she'd had 10 boxes, she'd have poured them all out, wouldn't she? What's she saying? This is nothing. Christ is all. These feet. This gospel. And those who preach it. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Do you need to hear this over and over again? What's it worth to you? For her, Christ will soon pour out his precious blood. And she has a little box of ointment. She's been saving up for maybe to give to her daughter or granddaughter someday. That's love. That's someone who esteems the Lord Jesus Christ. And she humbled herself. Look at verse in our text. Look at verse 3. She took this pound of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. She wiped his feet with her hair. Ladies, have you ever wiped somebody's feet with your hair? Would you think about it? Probably not. Isn't a woman's hair her glory? Huh? Isn't that what? Don't say it's not, because you wouldn't be spending $1 million a year on your hair getting it made up. Right? And Teresa's glad that they do. But it's so, isn't it? Huh? It's vanity. Hair is vanity. It's pride, is it not? She stoops at his feet. She does her due. But she took great pains to do. Maybe some money to do it up. And she took it down. And got down at his feet. And just wiped her hair with his feet with her hair, saying, oh, these feet are the most lovely thing on earth. This man that no one thinks is beautiful, he is altogether lovely to me. Oh, my vanity and my pride, be gone. Be gone. Your mother, Hannah, mother, Gabe's mother, your grandmother, Linda,
It's not a girl. Was a Martha and a Mary and Lazarus. Well, she served many people. We were in their home many times, and they and I. They served. She served many. Many meals, didn't she? She was a beautiful lady, wasn't she? Her beauty was even more so on the inside. Some of you knew her. She had beautiful hair, didn't she? That's where you got it. Beautiful hair. The Lord gave her cancer. And he took all that hair. Took it away. She was sitting in our home. She wore a wig, didn't she, in the last day. She was sitting in our home. And she's so comfortable with us, she said, I've got to take this off. It's so hot. And she took it off. She's bald. I know you've done this. I know Marvin's done it 1,000 times. And I went over and I kissed her on the head and I said, you've never been more beautiful than me in your life. That's beauty. He says, inward. And I wish you two knew her. If you know the Lord, you'll know her. You too. Be done with this vanity and pride. That's the reason the Lord hates a proud look more than anything. That outward beauty is nothing. You remember how the Lord made himself to be? No beauty. Oh, but he was altogether lovely. Be done with this vanity and pride. The Lord said of the daughters of Zion in chapter 3 of Isaiah, I see them skipping and mincing with all their jewels and so forth, proud and all that. And you know what he says is going to happen? He said, I'm going to smite them with baldness. As will all flesh. The Lord of hosts hath purpose in Isaiah 23:9. To bring into, to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. You see these women, young ladies, don't do this. You see these young, these ladies, beautiful ladies strutting down the aisle, strutting their self, their stuff. It's ugly to God. Positively abomination to God. Don't do it. Beauty's inward. Beauty is Christ-likeness. Beauty is the beauty of holiness. You may lose all your hair, and the Lord sent it. But if you're in Christ and He is in you, you won't lose your beauty. You'll never be more beautiful. I thought about this. I thought about it the other day. You know, I thought, I've said this many times, how I'd love to lose my head for Christ's sake, like Paul did. He lost his head. Can I lose my hair for Christ's sake? Linda did. Witnessed a good testimony, didn't she? Huh? Didn't complain. This is the Lord. I'd like to lose my life for Christ's sake. I'd like to lay down my life for Christ's sake. We might be called to lay down in sickness and bear witness of Him on our dying bed. That'd be good. If we don't, if persecution doesn't come and we're not called to go to a burning stake, we will be through the furnace and we can bear Him witness through the furnace, can't we? Like I, and I, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael said, we're not going to serve you. Throw us in the furnace. Doesn't matter. That'd be good. But I thought about that. I thought, I might, whatever the Lord I'm called to bear, let me bear it for His glory. Look at her faith with that. Verse 7. The Lord said, you know, Judas. Oh, boy. He said, we could have given this to the poor. He didn't care a thing about the poor. I tell you who he didn't care about. He didn't care about Christ. He cared about himself. Because all he could do is complain. This is a waste. Pour it out on his feet. What a waste. A precious ointment. Yeah, Judas, you love ointment. You love stuff. You love the things of this world. You don't love his feet. And our Lord said, leave her alone. Verse 6. He didn't care for the poor. Our Lord said, you let her alone. She's done this for the day of my burial. She's kept this for the day of my burial. And the scripture says it'll be done, spoken of her for a memorial from now on. By bringing this ointment, she heard
The Lord told them all. Mary was around when the Lord was speaking to his disciples often. She heard him say, the Son of Man must go up to Jerusalem and be betrayed and be cruelly treated and die and the third day rise again. She heard that. He said it many times. She heard it. She believed it. The disciples didn't believe it. She believed it. And the Lord said, she's brought this my burial. And she believed and she brought this. His burial. That's her faith. See, faith does all that it does toward Christ, doesn't it? Faith anoints him, doesn't it? Faith doesn't anoint faith. Look at my faith. She wasn't doing this to be seen. She would do it as unto the Lord, who well deserves the praise, honor, the glory, his holy anointing oil. The Lord said, let us render the sacrifice of our lips unto him. And these things we give, let it be as unto the Lord. The poor you have with Yahweh. Yeah, Habitat for Humanity. They have all these soup kitchens, all that. Go do that. That's fine. But that's not what this building exists to do. That's what the Lord plainly said here. Now look at verse 3. This is wonderful. Let's really end with this. It says that the house was filled with the odor of that ointment. It was filled with the odor of that ointment. Precious, sweet smelling. Spike nard. Every time a burnt offering of a lamb or a bullock or a turtle dove was offered in the Old Testament, the Lord called it a sweet smelling savor. Every time. Every time. If you're hungry, we cooked hamburgers yesterday for the girls. And stonikers, you know, eat everything in sight. They do. They just do. Don't they, Sam? How in the world do you feed those two? Well, anyway, so I was cooking this, and the smell, they just, food. What it is you smell, first you smell it, don't you? But that's not good enough. That won't do. Well, what do you got to do? Eat it. And this is the first thing that happens in saving faith. The Lord, the gospel come along. You don't have any smell. You don't have any sense of need for the gospel, for Christ, who is true food. And yet someday, one day he opened, gives life. And, ooh, I love that. That sounds so good. You reckon I can have some of that? Some? You know, that woman said, the dogs eat crumbs. Crumbs. God's people don't ever eat crumbs. Like Solomon's table. They eat a large portion. You're hungry. He said, open your mouth wide. And I'll fill it. But it comes a sweet smelling savor. Then you taste it and it savors. It's savory meat. That's what Isaac said to Jacob, wasn't it? Do you have that savory meat such as I love? Yes, here it is, Dad. What's your name? Come near, kiss me. Oh, no, I can't come. You got that savory meat? Yes, I did. Come near. That's another story. Same story. Sweet smelling savor. Would you go back to Song of Solomon one more time? Chapter 4? One more time? Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Sweet smelling savor. And this nard, it was pure. This spike nard means pure ointment. It was pure ointment. It was undiluted. It wasn't watered down. It was pure. And people, when the pure gospel of God's sovereign electing, there is no gospel without that. Sovereign electing grace. Ask Mary if she likes election. Oh my. The heart and soul. It started with that. It all started there. God's sovereign electing, a pure gospel of God's sovereign electing, redeeming, justifying, sanctifying love, mercy, and grace is a sweet smelling savor indeed to sinners. It is the pure, unadulterated, undiluted. The Lord said of that Passover feast, He said, don't sodden it with water. Don't water it down. Don't add anything or take anything away. Leave the fat. Okay, fat. You better. That's the taste. Undiluted. Not sodden with water. Don't take off the edges. Don't make it palatable to man because he can't eat that. Whatever they don't like to hear, stand up and shout it. Because my people do. Mary! God chose a people before the foundation of the world. I can hear her now. Hallelujah. Say it again, preacher. That's my story. Anybody? The pure, unadulterated, unmixed, unwatered down gospel of the holiness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You'll never hear these things in religion today. You'll never hear these things. You hear about the holiness of a man in Rome. I'm here to tell you, and every true preacher will stand up to tell you about the holiness of one that's in heaven and his righteousness imputed to. You want to hear this? How does it smell to you? Righteousness, perfect, pristine righteousness, a robe of righteousness. Anybody naked? Anybody want to hear this? It will cover you, all of you. Nothing uncovered. All hid. Of bloodshed for the remission of how many sins? All of them. All men of sin. I ate my 1 millionth hamburger yesterday. It was just as good as the first. Judas turned up his nose. Judas, that smells good to me. This is a waste. That's too much money. Mary said, it's not enough. We lavish our preachers, don't we, Mac? When the missionaries, Grovers make a lot of money. Do they make enough? Huh? I wish we could give them $1 million. Every preacher that comes here, I love this about our treasurer. And they come here, he'll call me and say how much we need to give so and so. I say, well, just give him this. And he'll say, can we give him some more? I said, yes. Give it all to him. The Lord gave it to us. David, in 1 Chronicles 29, he rejoiced that the people gave so willingly. He rejoiced over and over again that he gave willingly. He told how much he gave. It was a vast sum. And he did that as an example. He led by example. And he thanked the Lord, though, there in 1 Chronicles 29, that they were all made willing in the day of his power to give so generously. Because he's worth it. And it was all for one thing. Those priests make too much. Don't make enough. Now, you know I didn't say that. Because I want it. Oh no, your care of me here at the last is wonderful. Wonderful. I thank the Lord for it. But this gospel is a sweet smelling savor to those that love it. A sweet smelling savor of Christ and Him crucified. And they can't get enough of it. And they can't spend enough. And it's never too much. It just is the Lord. This is everything. Everything to them. What did I have you turn to Song of Solomon one more time? Look at it. Chapter 4, verse 9. It says, "You've ravished me," she said, the Lord said of his people, his church. Verse 10, "How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine. The smell of thine ointments is more beautiful than all spices." Do you know who thought that ointment smelled better than anybody in that room? Christ. He's smiling. He's looking on her with great affection, great love, great joy. And it's like when your daughter does something for you, brings you something, no matter how small it may appear to you, doesn't it give you great satisfaction? And he smells it, and to him it's a sweet smelling savor. And here's my closing prayer. Verse 14, spikenard and saffron, calamus, that's callus, and cinnamon and all the trees of frankincense. That's what our Lord was anointed with at his burial. Chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, a stream from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind. That's the Spirit of God. And come, O south. Blow upon my garden. Christ prays about his church that the spices thereof may flow out. And then let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruit. My prayer is this. Stand with me. Stand. Say, we don't do this. Well, let's do it then. When Ezra read the book, everybody stood for hours. This is my prayer. I hope it's yours. Oh, Lord, come into this house. Let the spices that are Christ's word and his works, let them flow out to every sinner vexed like Lot with the conversation of the wicked, vexed in this world. Everyone that the stench of this sinful world fills them up, the stench of their old man within them. Let everyone smell this sweet smelling savor, which is Christ and him crucified. And let it be the joy and rejoicing of their hearts. Amen. You're dismissed.